Welcome to the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. This podcast will be a sharing of part of my morning routine as I prepare for the day with the Word of God. We will be partaking of Puritan prayers from the Valley of Vision, each day's morning devotional from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, and we'll be reading from the Legacy Standard Bible, which is the newest and, I believe, the most accurate translation of the Word of God. We will be following a Bible reading calendar that provides for reading the whole Bible in a year that was created by Minister Robert Murray McShane for his congregation back in 1842, and that has been a part of my daily reading for over 6 years now. Good morning and welcome to the Tuesday morning, September 27th, 2022 episode of the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. I'm Wayne Floyd, your host. And we're out here in the balmy Arizona desert. Actually, it's not bad this morning. It's low 70s. Fortunately, over the next week or so, we're supposed to drop down into the 60s in the night. So definitely looking forward to that. Like my wife and I were talking about, we're just done with summer. Summer's done. We're good. Go away. But it's not terrible. But yeah, hopefully we're going to start getting where highs are going to be in the high 80s, not into the 90s or pushing triple digits. So definitely heading in a positive direction for us. Of course, definitely concerned with what's happening over in the Atlantic and in the Gulf. In-laws are over in Florida, and we're definitely, well, in-laws and friends, family and friends are over there, and with the things heading into Florida, needless to say, we're watching the Weather Channel more than I normally would. And I definitely must be getting old if I'm watching the Weather Channel, but yeah. So anyways, so definitely we will be praying for them. And if you wish, you're welcome to pray for them. They can always use prayer. We're definitely concerned about them. I mean, my in-laws have been there for 50 some years. So have been through a number of them. So they do know what they're doing. But we get concerned anyways, because we are their children. I mean, even I am. I mean, I consider them like my own mom and dad. And definitely we love them, and we hope that they are safe. And we pray to God that He takes care of them, and we know that if it's His will, He will. But so this podcast, the basic purpose of this podcast is to have to deal with the public reading of God's Word. We also do some reading from Puritan prayers and from a devotional from Charles Haddon Spurgeon. The whole point of that is one, I'm sharing, this is part of my normal morning routine, and that's why I try to do it first thing in the morning with you, to truly share it. This is actually a cold read for me. I've not read these yet. These are part of my normal routine prior to starting this podcast, and so I'm continuing them, but I'm continuing them with you. This routine, as well as some of the other stuff I do, has always been a balm to me, has always done well to set me up so that as I walk through my day, my head is on the things of God, not on the things of this world. Not being oblivious to this world, please don't misunderstand me, but where both heart, mind, soul, physical activity, whatever, all of it points to the glory of God. All of it points towards where my final destination is. As I've said before, if we're saved, we're sojourners here. This is not our home. And so doing this in the morning helps keep my mind on that. And so I do my best to properly provide for my family and to be a good steward of all that God's provided me here. With my mind on building up treasures in heaven, not treasures here. So that's why I started this, as I wanted to share it with others in hopes that it actually would do that for them. Both if they are saved, it would help do that for them. And if you're unsaved, then it will help you get your head in the right place, head you towards being ready for the work of the Holy Spirit when He comes to do a work of regeneration within you. As the Bible is clear, you know, there is nothing we can do to bring about our own salvation, even making a decision. The ability to choose faith in Christ is given to us by God as well. But he has to do that work of, he has to use the, put the Holy Spirit to us to make us able, to bring us through that regeneration, to make us able. That's why Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for it is by great, anyways, I'm not going to try to repeat it right now. Anyways, but we, the gift we're given by God is both the grace that he's providing salvation to us and the faith that comes from that grace. Those are gifts of God. They're not anything we do. And I'm sorry, I didn't try to recite that from memory. Normally I can, but I'm still half asleep this morning. But so that's the purpose of this, is to set a good godly groundwork for the unsaved so that they can start solid practices here in preparation for the work of the Holy Spirit in them. And then for those of us that are saved, to truly equip and edify us and keep our heads in the right direction in this crazy, crazy world we're in. So as is our, I've been forgetting this the last couple episodes. I want to say up front, the links for everything I'm reading are in the show notes, as well as links to where you can find hard copies of what I'm reading from. Now, I'm actually reading it online because it's easier for me to read, especially first thing in the morning where my brain's only half working. But I would definitely encourage you to get hard copies of these things, especially the way the world's going. Who knows when power's going to go down or internet's going to go out and all of a sudden you're not going to have access to this. And I want to ensure that you have continuous access to this, whether you've got the internet or not, whether you have any access to this electronically or not. So let's move on. So as is our normal practice, we're going to start with Puritan prayers out of the Valley of Vision, and our first two prayers of the day, which are standard for us, are resting on God and grace in trials. So here we go with resting on God. O God, most high, most glorious, the thought of thine infinite serenity cheers me, for I am toiling and moiling, troubled and distressed. But thou art forever at perfect peace. Thy designs cause thee no fear or care of unfulfillment. They stand fast as the eternal hills. Thy power knows no bond, thy goodness no stint. Thou bringest order out of confusion, and my defeats are thy victories. The Lord God, omnipotent, reigneth. I come to thee as a sinner with cares and sorrows, to leave every concern entirely to thee, every sin calling for Christ's precious blood. Revive deep spirituality in my heart. Let me live near to the great shepherd. Hear his voice, know its tones, follow its calls. Keep me from deception by causing me to abide in the truth, from harm by helping me to walk in the power of the Spirit. Give me intenser faith in the eternal verities, burning into me by experience the things I know. Let me never be ashamed of the truth of the gospel, that I may bear its reproach, vindicate it, see Jesus as its essence, knowing in it the power of the Spirit. Lord, help me, for I am often lukewarm and chill. Unbelief mars my confidence. Sin makes me forget thee. Let the weeds that grow in my soul be cut at their roots. Grant me to know that I truly live only when I live to thee, that all else is trifling. Thy presence alone can make me holy, devout, strong, and happy. Abide in me, gracious God. Amen. And grace in trials. Father of mercies, hear me for Jesus' sake. I am sinful even in my closest walk with thee. It is of thy mercy I died not long ago. Thy grace has given me faith in the cross by which thou hast reconciled thyself to me and me to thee, drawing me by thy great love, reckoning me as innocent in Christ, though guilty in myself. Giver of all graces, I look to thee for strength to maintain them in me, for it is hard to practice what I believe. Strengthen me against temptations. My heart is an unexhausted fountain of sin, a river of corruption since childhood days, flowing on in every pattern of behavior. Thou hast disarmed me of the means in which I trusted, and I have no strength but in thee. Thou alone canst hold back my evil ways, but without thy grace to sustain me, I fall. Satan's darts quickly inflame me, and the shield that should quench them easily drops from my hand. Empower me against his wiles and assaults. Keep me sensible of my weakness and of my dependence upon thy strength. Let every trial teach me more of thy peace, more of thy love. Thy Holy Spirit is given to increase thy graces, and I cannot preserve or improve them unless he works continually in me. May he confirm my trust in thy promised help, and let me walk humbly in dependence upon thee. For Jesus' sake, amen. And now our regular morning prayer, our third day morning, God, creator and controller. Most high God, the universe with all its myriad creatures is thine, made by thy word, upheld by thy power, governed by thy will. But thou art also the Father of mercies, the God of all grace, the bestower of all comfort, the protector of the saved. Thou hast been mindful of us, hast visited us, preserved us, given us a goodly heritage, the Holy Scriptures, the joyful gospel, the Savior of souls. We come to thee in Jesus' name, make mention of his righteousness only, plead his obedience and sufferings, who magnified the law both in its precepts and penalty, and made it honorable. May we be justified by his blood, saved by his life, joined to his spirit. Let us take up his cross and follow him. May the agency of thy grace prepare us for thy dispensations. Make us willing that thou shouldst choose our inheritance and determine what we shall retain or lose, suffer or enjoy. If blessed with prosperity, may we be free from its snares and use, not abuse, its advantages. May we patiently and cheerfully submit to those afflictions which are necessary. When we are tempted to wander, hedge up our way. Excite in us abhorrence of sin. Wean us from the present evil world. Assure us that we shall at last enter Emmanuel's land, where none is ever sick, and the sun will always shine. Amen. All right. And our morning devotional from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's Morning and Evening. Excuse me, taking a drink of my tea. Oh, I'm drinking my turmeric ashwagandha. My knees have been giving me issues, so hoping it'll help a little bit today. So this is the morning, September 27th, devotional. The scripture for it is Deuteronomy 33:29. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency. And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. He who affirms that Christianity makes men miserable is himself an utter stranger to it. It were strange indeed if it made us wretched, for see to what a position it exalts us. It makes us sons of God. Suppose you that God will give all the happiness to his enemies and reserve all the mourning for his own family? Shall his foes have mirth and joy, and shall his home-born children inherit sorrow and wretchedness? Shall the sinner, who has no part in Christ, call himself rich in happiness, and shall we go mourning as if we were penniless beggars? No, we will rejoice in the Lord always, and glory in our inheritance, for we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The rod of chastisement must rest upon us in our measure, but it woketh for us the comfortable fruits of righteousness. And therefore, by the aid of the divine comforter, we, the people saved of the Lord, will joy in the God of our salvation. We are married unto Christ, and shall our great bridegroom permit his spouse to linger in constant grief? Our hearts are knit unto him. We are his members. And though for a while we may suffer as our head once suffered, yet we are even now blessed with heavenly blessings in him. We have the earnest of our inheritance in the comforts of the Spirit, which are neither few nor small. Inheritors of joy forever, we have foretastes of our portion. There are streaks of the light of joy to herald our eternal sun rising. Our riches are beyond the sea. Our city with firm foundations lies on the other side of the river. Gleams of glory from the spirit world cheer our hearts and urge us onward. Truly is it said of us, happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord. All right. And now our reading, 2 Samuel 23. These are David's last words. Now these are the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, declares, the man who was raised on high declares, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel. The spirit of Yahweh spoke by me, and his word was on my tongue. The God of Israel said, the rock of Israel spoke to me. He who rules over men as a righteous one, who rules in the fear of God, is as the light of the morning when the sun rises, a morning without clouds, from brightness of the sun after rain, with the tender grass springing from the earth. Truly is not my house so with God? For he has made an everlasting covenant with me, ordered in all things and secured. For all my salvation and all my desire, will he not indeed make it grow? But the vile men, every one of them, will be thrust away like thorns, because they cannot be taken in hand. But the man who touches them must be armed with iron and the shaft of a spear, and they will be completely burned with fire where they sit. These are the names of the mighty men whom David had: Josheb-Bashabeth, Tachmonite, chief of the captains. He was called Adino the Esnite, because of 800 slain by him at one time. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the son of Ahohi, one of the three mighty men with David when they reproached the Philistines who were gathered together there to battle, and the men of Israel had gone up to retreat. He arose and struck the Philistines until his hand was weary and clung to the sword. And Yahweh brought about a great salvation that day, and the people returned after him only to strip the slain. Now after him was Shammah, the son of Agi of Aharite, and the Philistines were gathered into a troop where there was a portion of the field full of lentils, and the people fled from the Philistines, fled from before the Philistines. But he took his stand in the midst of that portion and delivered it and struck down the Philistines. So Yahweh brought about a great salvation. Then three of the 30 chief men went down and came to David in the harvest time to the cave of Adullam, while the troops of the Philistines were camping in the valley of Rephaim. And David was then in the fortress, while the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. Then David had a craving and said, "Oh, that someone would give me water to drink from the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." So the three mighty men broke through the camp of the Philistines and drew water from the well of Bethlehem, which was by the gate, and carried it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he was not willing to drink it, but poured it out to Yahweh. And he said, "Be it far from me, O Yahweh, that I should do this. Shall I drink the blood of the men who went at the risk of their lives?" Therefore, he was not willing to drink it. These things the three mighty men did. Now Abishai, the brother of Joab, the son of Zeruiah, was chief of the 30, and he swung his spear against 300 who were slain by him, and he had a name as well as the three. Of the 30, he was the most honored and became their commander. However, he did not attain to the three. Then Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man of Kabzeel, mighty in deeds, struck down the two sons of Ariel of Moab. He also went down and struck down a lion in the midst of a pit on a snowy day. He had also struck down an Egyptian, an impressive man. Now in the Egyptian's hand was a spear, but he went down to him with a club and snatched the spear from the Egyptian's hand and killed him with his own spear. These things Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, did, and had a name as well as the three mighty men. He was honored among the 30, but he did not attain to the three. And David appointed him over his guard. Asahel, the brother of Joab, was among the 30. Elhanan, the son of Dodo of Bethlehem, Shammah the Herodite, Elika the Herodite, Helez the Paltite, Ira the son of Ikesh the Tekoite, Abiezer the Anathothite, Mebunai the Hushathite, Zalmon the Ahohite, Maharaj the Netophathite, Heleb, the son of Bana, the Netophathite, Ittai, the son of Ribai of Gibeah of the sons of Benjamin, Benaiah of a Parathonite, Hadai of the brooks of Gash, Abi Albon the Arbathite, Asmaveth the Barhumite, Eliaba the Shalbonite, the sons of Jashen, Jonathan, Shama the Hararite, Ahiam the son of Sherar the Ararite, Eliphelet the son of Ahasbi, the son of the Maacathite, Eliam the son of Ahithophel the Gilonite, Hezro the Carmelite, Parai the Arbite, Igal the son of Nathan of Zobah, Bani the Gadite, Zelek the Ammonite, Naharai the Berethite, armor bearers of Joab the son of Zeruiah, Ira the Ithrite, Gareb the Ithrite, Uriah the Hittite, 37 in all. All right, sorry, the end of that was pretty tough. And I hope I didn't make it too bad by any mispronunciations of those names. All right, Galatians 3. O foolish Galatians, who bewitched you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? This is the only thing I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law, or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things for nothing, if indeed it was for nothing? So then, does he who provides you with the Spirit and works miracles among you do it by the works of the law, or by hearing with faith? Just as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, so know that those who are of faith, those are sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, proclaimed the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations will be blessed in you. So then those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham, the believer. For as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to do them. Now that no one is justified by the law before God is evident, for the righteous shall live by faith. However, the law is not of faith, rather, he who does them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, in order that in Christ Jesus the blessings of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brothers, I speak in human terms, even though it is only a man's covenant. Yet when it has been ratified, no one sets it aside or adds conditions to it. Now the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. He does not say, and to seeds as referring to many, but rather to one and to your seed, that is Christ. And what I am saying is this, the law, which came 430 years later, does not invalidate a covenant previously ratified by God so as to abolish the promise. For if the inheritance is by law, it is no longer by promise, but God has granted it to Abraham through promise. Why the law then? It was added because of trespasses, having been ordained through angels by the hand of a mediator, until the seed would come to whom the promise had been made. Now a mediator is not for one person only, whereas God is one. Is the law then contrary to the promises of God? May it never be. For if a law had been given which was able to impart life, then righteousness would indeed be by law. But the Scripture has shut up everyone under sin, so that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. But before faith came, we were held in custody under the law, being shut up for the coming faith to be revealed. Therefore the law has become our tutor unto Christ, so that we may be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free man, There is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, heirs according to promise. All right, now Ezekiel 30. The word of Yahweh came again to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy and say, Thus says Lord Yahweh, Wail, alas for the day is near, even the day of Yahweh is near. It will be a day of clouds, a time of doom for the nations. A sword will come upon Egypt, and anguish will be in Ethiopia. When the slain fall in Egypt, they take away her multitude, and her foundations are pulled down. Ethiopia, Put, Lud, all Arabia, Libya, and the people of the land that is in covenant will fall with them by the sword. Thus says Yahweh, Indeed, those who support Egypt will fall, and the pride of her strength will come down. From Migdal to Cyrene, they will fall within her by the sword, declares Lord Yahweh. They will be desolate in the midst of the desolated lands, and her cities will be in the midst of the cities laid waste. And they will know that I am Yahweh, when I set a fire in Egypt, and all her helpers are broken. On that day, messengers will go forth from me in ships to frighten secure Ethiopia, and anguish will be on them as on the day of Egypt, for behold, it is coming. Thus says Lord Yahweh, I will also make the multitude of Egypt cease by the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, he and his people with him. The most ruthless of the nations will be brought in to make the land a ruin, and they will draw their swords against Egypt and fill the land with the slain. Moreover, I will make the canals of the Nile dry and sell the land into the hands of evil men. And I will make the land desolate as well as its fullness by the hand of strangers. I, Yahweh, have spoken. Thus says Lord Yahweh, I will also destroy the idols and make the images cease from Memphis. And there will no longer be a prince in the land of Egypt, and I will put fear in the land of Egypt. I will make Pathros desolate, set a fire in Zoan, and execute judgments on Thebes. I will pour out my wrath on Sin and strong defense of Egypt. I will pour out my wrath on Sin, the strong defense of Egypt. I will also cut off the multitude of Thebes. I will set a fire in Egypt. Sin will writhe in anguish. Thebes will be breached, and Memphis will have distresses daily. The choice men of On and of Pi Beseth will fall by the sword, and the women will go into captivity. And Tahpenes, the day will be dark, when I break there the bars of the yoke of Egypt. Then the pride of her strength will cease in her, a cloud will cover her, and her daughters will go into captivity. Thus I will execute judgments on Egypt. And they will know that I am Yahweh. In the 11th year, in the first month, on the 7th of the month, the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, Son of man, I have broken the arm of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and behold, it has not been bound up to be given healing or wrapped with a bandage, that it may be strong to seize the sword. Therefore thus says Lord Yahweh, Behold, I am against Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and will break his arm, both the strong and the broken, and I will make the sword fall from his hand. I will scatter the Egyptians among the nations and disperse them among the lands, for I will strengthen the arms of the king of Babylon and put my sword in his hand, and I will break the arms of Pharaoh, so that he will groan before him with the groanings of a wounded man. Thus I will strengthen the arms of the kings of Babylon, but the arms of Pharaoh will fall. Then they will know that I am Yahweh, when I put my sword into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he stretches it out against the land of Egypt. When I scatter the Egyptians among the nations and disperse them among the lands, then they will know that I am Yahweh. And finally, Psalm 78. This is starting in verse 38 through the end of the chapter. But he, being compassionate, atoned for their iniquity and did not destroy them. And he abounded in turning back his anger, and did not arouse all his wrath. Thus he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that goes and does not return. How often they rebelled against him in the wilderness, and grieved him in the wasteland. Again and again they tested God, and pained the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember his power, the day when he redeemed them from the adversary, when he performed his signs in Egypt and his miracles in the field of Zoan, and turned their rivers to blood and their streams they could not drink. He sent among them swarms of flies which devoured them, and frogs which destroyed them. He gave also their crops to the grasshopper, and the fruit of their labor to the locust. He killed their vines with hailstones, and their sycamore trees with frost. He gave over their cattle also to the hailstones, and their herds to bolts of lightning. He sent upon them his burning anger, fury and indignation and distress, a band of destroying angels. He leveled a path for his anger. He did not hold back their soul from death, but gave over their life to the plague. So he struck all the firstborn in Egypt, the first of their vigor in the tents of Ham. But he led forth his own people like sheep, and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. He led them safely, so that they did not fear, but the sea covered their enemies. So he brought them to his holy land, to this hill country which his right hand had acquired. He also drove out the nations before them, and apportioned them for an inheritance by measurements, and made the tribes of Israel dwell in their tents. Yet they tested and rebelled against the Most High God, and did not keep his testimonies, but turned back and acted treacherously like their fathers. They turned aside like a treacherous bow, for they provoked him with their high places, and aroused his jealousy with their graven images. God heard and was filled with wrath, and greatly rejected Israel, so that he abandoned the dwelling place at Shiloh, the tent which he caused to dwell among men, and gave up his strength to captivity, and his beauty into the hand of the adversary. He also gave over his people to the sword, and was filled with wrath at his inheritance. Fire devoured his choice men, and his virgins had no wedding songs. His priests fell by the sword, and his widows could not weep. Then the Lord awoke as if from sleep, as if he were a warrior overcome by wine. He struck his adversaries backwards. He put on them an everlasting reproach. He also rejected the tent of Joseph, and did not choose the tribe of Ephraim, but chose the tribe of Judah, Mount Zion, which he loved, and he built his sanctuary like the heights, like the earth which he had founded forever. He also chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds. From following the nursing ewes, he brought him to shepherd Jacob, his people, and Israel, his inheritance. So he shepherded them according to the integrity of his heart, and led them with his skillful hands. Amen. What a wonderful psalm. As much as you hear the wrath of God being met out, you see there at the end of that one, him relenting. I mean, and don't get me wrong, it's easy to go, oh, the wrath of God, and oh, he was just so mean and pounding down on Israel. Except when you read the account of the Exodus, with miracle after miracle after miracle that he does within them as they flee Egypt. And they're huge miracles. These aren't tiny miracles. These are huge miracles. He poured down his wrath upon Egypt, repeated plagues and storms and hail and everything as was described to free Israel. And they watched it happen. These great, awesome things. Then he divides the Red Sea so they can escape and pours it back in on the army of Egypt to not only stop them, but wipe them out. He then provides them food and water throughout the desert, yet continually through their trek in the desert, they constantly fall. And when I say fall, they constantly turn against him. They constantly question. They constantly complain against God and against his chosen, against Moses and Aaron, who he had chosen to lead them. And it's easy to look at them and go, oh, geez, that's terrible. Except you and I wouldn't have been any different in that place. I mean, I know I wouldn't have been. I mean, it's really, really easy to go, oh, and look down. It's like people that sit there and go, well, if I had been in Adam's place, I wouldn't have sinned. Oh, yeah, you would have. Maybe worse than he did. I would have too. You know, so I say that looking in a mirror. Yeah, we would have. But you see that. And yet, even in that, and even in what he let them suffer, because he got them into the promised land, but they continued to rebel. They continued to rebel. And that's what... I don't think people get that nowadays. And enough theologians are saying it, but people just aren't hearing it. That in our sin, we are rebelling against a righteous, just, and loving God. We are rebelling. We are in abject rebellion when we're living in our sin, when we are living outside the grace of God, when we've not come to a saving faith. We are in rebellion. We are in rebellion, and thus we deserve the wrath of God. Yet even in this, he provided, you see him as you follow the history of Israel, him provide the judges to deliver them. And they come back for a little while, and then they turn and wander away again. And then you finally see him bring David. And if you didn't realize this, David was a foreshadowing of Christ. I mean, Christ is from David's line anyways. But David is a foreshadowing of Christ. And I say Christ is of David's line because his mother, because Mary is of David's line. As was Joseph, but Joseph is not his father and the father of the flesh. There is no father of the flesh. It was the Holy Spirit, if you never got that. But Jesus is of David's line. So David is a savior at this point in it. And it foreshadows Christ, who will come of the line of Judah to save. So he continues to provide for them as much if they spit in God's eye and have peed on his shoes. And, you know, I mean, and I'm sorry, I'm being a little crass, but I'm trying to get across the point that as rebellious as we are, he's provided a savior for us. As atrocious and unworthy as we are and will always be, he provided the savior, Jesus Christ. And that's why it is absurd if we do not get on our knees and beg for forgiveness and beg for God to send the Holy Spirit to bring us to a saving faith in Christ, to do that work of regeneration in us. So I would pray for and beg all of you that if you're not saved, if you're not even sure, to get on your knees and pray. And I'm not saying pray some sinner's prayer. I've heard too many churches talk about say the sinner's prayer and poof, you're saved. No, you'll know when you're saved. It's not really a question. I knew very clearly when I had been brought to saving faith in Christ, and I was on my knees in abject humility, realizing just how atrocious and unworthy I was, except a true realization that in spite of that, Jesus Christ had stood in my stead, had taken the punishment that I wholeheartedly deserved, so that his clean, clean, righteous robes could be draped on me, so that I could stand holy and blameless before a just God. You'll know, but I beg you to get on your knees and to pray for that. All right. Let's go ahead and pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for giving us this time together this morning, for allowing us to partake of your word and partake of the prayers and devotion as well. Dear Lord, I would pray that as we go out throughout the day, that which we've partaken of this morning would shape us and guide us and set us on your paths, on a path of obedience, a true path of obedience, to turn us away from rebellion against you, so that, Lord, we would truly be those witnesses of Christ in this world that is so in need of it. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. I hope you go and have a wonderful day. And all that you do today, do it for the glory of God. Have a good one.